Support for this podcast is provided by Smart Recruiters, the hiring success company. Smart Recruiters is a full talent acquisition suite with candidate relationship management and an applicant tracking system, all in one modern platform with an extensive marketplace of more than 300 vendors and a user experience that candidates, hiring managers, and recruiters alike love. Companies from IKEA to Bosch to BlaBlaCar leverage Smart Recruiters to attract, select, and hire the talent they need to grow and expand their business. Visit Smart Recruiters at www.smartrecruiters.com to find out why companies across the globe consider them to be the number one ATS replacement.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi everyone, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 111 of the Recruiting Future podcast. Recruiting to help a company grow is a common situation that many resourcing leaders find themselves in. But what's it like to recruit for a company that's in hyper-growth mode? And what are the key challenges that need to be overcome? My guest this week is someone who's very familiar with this hyper-growth scenario. Justin Anastasi is Talent Acquisition Manager at Evolution Gaming, a company that's currently growing at around 50% every year. Keep listening to hear about the strategies and technologies Justin uses to deal with the challenges involved with hypergrowth. Hi, Justin, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Could you just introduce yourself and tell us a bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Justin Anastasi. I'm the Talent Acquisition Manager for Evolution Gaming. At the moment, I would suppose my role is very much spanned across various different countries. So currently based in Malta, and from Malta, I'm responsible for all talent acquisition activities for both Malta, Romania, Canada now, London, Belgium, and Spain.
Wow, that's a sort of fairly diverse geographic spread. How big is the company?
Well, to be honest with you, the company is very large, I would say, across various other countries as well, because there is countries such as Riga, Latvia, and we're also opening up another studio in Georgia. So at the moment, I would say it's in excess of about 3,500 employees, very much on rapid growth from that number onwards. So that would very much change by tomorrow or end of month.
Interesting. And I suppose there must be some really interesting recruitment challenges associated with that. What are the sort of main challenges that you're facing?
I think, to be honest, the biggest challenge we have as Evolution Gaming is certainly the fact that we are a hyper growth company. I think a lot of other companies tend to grow at a fairly standard rate. And funnily enough, I was hearing a conversation that we were having with our CEO, Johan, and basically he was mentioning to us that a lot of companies do talk a lot about the fact they've grown by 5% or they're growing by 10% next year, and that's a really big achievement, which rightly so it is. But when you're looking at Evolution Gaming and seeing that we're growing 50% year on year, if not more than that, the question becomes, I suppose, what do you call that? I mean, of course, a success, but from a talent acquisition perspective, it also makes or adds another element to recruitment that is not the norm.
And how are you dealing with that? What sort of recruitment methods and talent acquisition techniques do you use to really cope with that hypergrowth?
I mean, to be honest, it all technology definitely does help a lot with achieving those goals. Having last year rolled out an ATS system called Smart Recruiters to the actual sort of recruitment life cycle. But I think the biggest element is how you manage each role individually. Now, I suppose for a hypergrowth, you'd probably be asking, how do you do that for such a fast-growing company? The trick for me, I suppose, is to manage each position as a project. as you would as a project manager, for example. So basically managing the timeline from start to finish in terms of every single ingredient, if you will, to get that person, to get the role open and to get the role hired, the person starting, the person onboarded. So very much managing as a project, I think, is how we tend to overcome the hypergrowth, because you do need that visibility into every aspect of recruitment, especially having so many facets, especially nowadays.
And do you have quite a large team that you work with? What's the structure?
Well, at the moment, I would say it's not a large team for the scale or broadness of the countries and the roles that we cater for. So I would say at the moment we have 6 people in the team, soon to be 6, so 5 currently. I suppose the question then is how is that proportional to that level of growth? I think it is all about just finding efficiencies. So, you know, where do you need to be spending your time as a talent acquisition specialist, and where don't you need to be spending that time? The next element of that is utilizing technology in the best way to get the most out of your team.
And how, in terms of sort of use of technology, how does it support the team on a day to day basis?
I would say massively. So there are certain elements of the recruitment process, depending on the tool that you obviously go for, the tools that you have in place. For me, I look at automation as much as possible. However, I would say it's both a positive and also a negative to technology. Yes, with it, your processes can run a lot smoother. You can have, you know, very detailed reports. You can actually manage the candidate's life cycle through that recruitment process in a very structured way. But I suppose the main thing for me is to not lose out on the human element through that process, which I think can be quite tricky, especially when you've got a hypergrowth situation. And it's something that we tend to focus on quite a lot, maintaining the human element whilst using those technologies to boost efficiencies in the recruitment process.
And what parts of the process do you think that the human element is most important in?
Interesting question. I mean, for me, it's very much the interview process. I think that is definitely the actual interview itself. The human element certainly needs to be maintained. However, off the back of that, I think someone who's carrying out an interview can only really go so far. I mean, I remember back when I was in sales, or account management rather. We used to, and I was making that move to recruitment. I remember people used to tell me that, you know, selling maybe a banner on a website or anything like that, I mean, the product doesn't say no, you know. Going into recruitment, you just soon discover that yes, the product does say no, right? And essentially, what does that mean? It's basically, I understand, one, who you are speaking with, and is that the right person to be speaking with in the first place? And that no, is it really a no, or is it an objection? Is it something that you've missed? Is it something that, you know, should be on a job description, or something you should have clarified before? Is it just a misunderstanding? I mean, there's so many different elements. When you're dealing with people, I think there's always got to be a human element to the process, and that's where the balance comes in between technology and that human piece.
I'm guessing that another part of that must also be the nuances between the different geographies that you're recruiting in. How does that kind of manifest itself? What are the differences between sort of looking for talent in those different countries?
To be honest, the differences are profound. I would say the general basics for any recruiter, be it external or internal, I think would actually remain the same. But when you're dealing with these various different markets, you do really have to understand the market itself, from economic climate to the actual employment situation. So, for example, in Sweden, they have great benefits and a very strong economy. And how do you move people from Sweden to an economy maybe that isn't as strong or doesn't have as many benefits for an employee? So you really do have to understand those dynamics. And a lot of that comes from gaining that market knowledge before you start your recruitment process in order to understand how you need to tailor those basics to be able to best achieve your results.
And I suppose one of the challenges in any market is getting the attention of the talent that you're looking for. How do you get your name out there? How do you how do you get people to sort of pay attention to you guys as a brand?
This is quite interesting. I think, to be honest, keeping up with a lot of the ongoing trends within the industry, I think employer branding has been something that's definitely been gaining momentum. And I think come 2018, certainly going to be a focus for a lot of companies. The reality is that we really do need to stand out. I mean, not only us, but I suppose anyone in a talent acquisition role needs to find that unique selling point that makes them special. I don't think it's about appealing to everyone. I think it's about appealing to those people that fall the most in line with, you know, your core values, and then trying to identify that and be in the right places is what then sort of sets it up for success or failure, really. So I think for us, it's mainly pivots around our core values and reaching, understanding who that right person is and what they look like, and appealing to them, but also maintaining that human element. And by that, I mean not just talking about, what the person has to do or just what the benefits are, but what does the person actually gain out of being part of this living organization?
That definitely makes a lot of sense. I suppose what would be interesting for me would be to find out a bit more about the actual kind of channels you use to reach people. Are you doing a lot of proactive sourcing? Are you doing marketing, advertising? What's the sort of what's the mix of approaches that you're using to reach such sort of large volumes of talent?
Again, quite interesting, and it does vary depending on the type of profile that you're looking for. So, I mean, the go-to response will, of course, be things like social media, job boards, agencies, and various other things. I think in terms of channels, I don't really feel that we do anything in terms of channels that would be, very different to what's accessible to other companies. It's more, I would say, what we advertise and what we say in those adverts that makes that more successful than perhaps other companies, as well as the ability to understand not just what we're dealing with now in terms of current needs, but where we, you know, what we expect to be receiving in the future, be it a month, 3 months, or maybe even a year beforehand. So I would say for me, the main channels nowadays is actually becoming more, I would say, referrals and also social media. I don't think social media is any sort of new trend. I think everyone is using it. But again, it's the message that you're conveying. And I do definitely foresee that the referrals to be more of a growing contributor to any company's continued growth.
Absolutely. And I think it's really interesting when you're talking about the fact that your messaging is the thing that's kind of differentiating you from the competition. And you also obviously are doing a lot of research into the markets that you're looking at. I mean, how do you sort of gather this information about your audience? How do you find out what it is that's going to resonate with them the most?
Well, for me, I think it's a mix of a couple of things, actually. I mean, the first thing I would suppose most people would say would be Google, or just do some research, you know what I mean? That's probably the easiest thing to do. But I tend to find the most accurate information comes from the actual people themselves. Be it the people that are already in the market or in the country that you're looking at, but also the people that form part of your company. So focus groups and actually doing engaging people's opinions and people's thoughts. I mean, it's at the end of the day, you're trying to attract people, so why not get that information directly from the source and people who are already experienced or well-versed in that market also.
And what advice would you give to other corporate recruiters who are working in a similar sort of hyper-growth environment?
To be honest with you, I would say be persistent would be the best advice that I could give. And if you can do it today, don't wait till tomorrow. I think that's definitely the advice that I would give. And also to partner well with the operation and with your key stakeholders, because it's through that partnering and through that relationship that you're able to project and plan your needs ahead. So yes, you will always have a recruitment need, and yes, you will always have targets you need to achieve. But ultimately, if you have that relationship and you are able to plan ahead, then you're bound to have success.
And just to dig down into that a little bit deeper, are there any kind of specific things that you do in terms of how you communicate with your stakeholders and your hiring managers to keep that sort of process running smoothly?
Absolutely. I think at Evolution, we're quite known for having very much a close environment. Here. We do tend to say quite a lot that it's the Evolution family. So I think maintaining that relationship is fairly easy for us. But more specifically, I would say regular, clear communication. Certainly a lesson that I learned in the early start of my career. It is really just all about communicating your successes and also communicating your failures. And if you do have those failures, understanding, you know, what went wrong and what you could be doing better the next time, and being able to confidently communicate them to your stakeholders without any fear of, any fear of maybe that not being well met. Because ultimately, from an operations perspective, it is all about planning. It is all about gaining that understanding, and that all does come from the right communication.
Absolutely. I mean, that certainly makes perfect sense. So final question, what are your predictions for the future of talent acquisition?
I think my predictions for talent acquisition would probably be that as we continue to see this candidate driven market become even more of a candidate driven one, there's of course going to be considerable competition between various different companies, both in the same industry and out of it, for sometimes even the same talent. So I think the key trend I see is strong emphasis on companies trying to establish a strong brand and stand out. The other element I would say would be AI and how that integrates into the current recruitment process, but also being able to balance that with the human element and not losing out on that.
Justin, thank you very much for talking to me.
Pleasure, Matt.
My thanks to Justin Anastasi. You can subscribe to this podcast in iTunes, in Stitcher, or via your podcasting app of choice. The show also has its own dedicated app, which you can find by searching for Recruiting Future in your app store. As of this week, the show is also available in the podcast section of Spotify. You can find all the past episodes at www.rfpodcast.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to the mailing list and find out more about working with me. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next week, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.